It's Monday, January 23rd, 2017 AD. This is a special extended inaugural newscast for The World View. I'm Adam McManus. At a private worship service before Friday's inaugural activities, President-elect Donald Trump heard a sermon from Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, who spoke from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, reports Christian Headlines. Jeffress said that 1 year ago he had told Trump that he would be president and that it would be God who had elevated him to that position. Quote, as the prophet Daniel said, it is God who removes and establishes leaders, unquote. Dr. Jeffress explained his reasoning for speaking from Nehemiah. Quote, when I think of you, President-elect Trump, I am reminded of another great leader God chose thousands of years ago in Israel. The nation had been in bondage for decades. The infrastructure of the country was in shambles, and God raised up a powerful leader to restore the nation. And the man God chose was neither a politician nor a priest. Instead, God chose a builder whose name was Nehemiah, unquote. Remarking that, quote, God is not against building walls, unquote, Jeffress explained that Nehemiah led the people to complete Jerusalem's fortification in 52 days. Because Nehemiah completed that massive project in record time, Jeffress drew three principles which showed why he was so successful in building the wall and rebuilding the nation. Jeffress showed that Nehemiah did not allow critics to distract him, setbacks to stop him, and sought God's help to empower him. Within hours of hearing that sermon, Donald J. Trump took the oath of office and became the 45th President of the United States of America.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
In his populist inaugural speech, Trump addressed the notion that his victory was the people's victory, calling it an historic movement.
What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public.
President Trump acknowledged that there is an unfortunate disconnect for too many Americans who have not experienced the American dream.
But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of knowledge. And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. We are one nation, and their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny.
And in the midst of the rainy day in the District of Columbia, President Trump emphasized the importance of unity, even citing Holy Scripture.
At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, There is no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
By contrast, on Saturday, at the George Soros-funded Women's March on Washington, which attracted several hundred thousand liberals, the rhetoric was downright gloomy. Madonna, who has made a living by embracing sexual promiscuity and mocking Christianity, had this to say.
Welcome to the revolution of love, to the rebellion, to our refusal as women to accept this new age of tyranny. It took this horrific moment of darkness to wake us up. It seems as though we had all slipped into a false sense of comfort, that justice would prevail and that good would win in the end. Well, good did not win this election.
The Worldview took the liberty to edit out one of her three profanities. And actress Ashley Judd took great delight in quoting from the poem of 19-year-old Nina Donovan from Middle Tennessee.
I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man whose words are a diss track to America. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet.
Asra Nomani, a writer for the New York Times affiliate Women in the World, revealed that after studying the, quote, funding, politics, and talking points of the some 403 groups that are partners of the march, it really was not a women's march, but a march for women who are anti-Trump, unquote. Nomani revealed that the protests were largely an organized, top-down driven political operation and not an organic movement of concerned Americans taking to the streets as reported by the mainstream media. LifeNews.com reports that President Donald Trump will sign an executive order to defund International Planned Parenthood. Most pro-life Americans are anxiously awaiting Congress to pass a bill to defund the domestic Planned Parenthood abortion business. While that defunding legislation concerns the American-based Planned Parenthood, President Trump has the ability to put in place an executive order that would revoke funding for its international affiliate. President Trump has returned a bust of former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill to the Oval Office, which had been removed by Obama in 2009, reports the Washington Examiner. A spokesperson for British Prime Minister Theresa May, with whom he will meet this Friday, confirmed that Trump had personally asked if England would loan the bust of Churchill to the U.S. once he took office. And finally, President Trump used his first executive order late Friday to immediately undercut his predecessor's signature health care law, ordering federal agencies to ease the, quote, regulatory burdens, unquote, of Obamacare, a move that could be aimed at rolling back the law's so-called individual mandate, reports Fox News. The requirement to buy insurance is one of the more unpopular components of the law. Trump's order stated clearly that his policy is to seek the, quote, prompt repeal, unquote, of the Affordable Care Act, but also said his directive to agencies in the meantime is meant to minimize the economic impact of the law. And that's our extended inaugural edition of The Worldview on this Monday, January 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.